Today is April 11th, 2021, the second Sunday of the Easter season. We are not worshiping together in person at the church due to the coronavirus pandemic, so we offer this pre-recorded service, and I welcome you to this time of worship. Give thanks to our risen Lord this holy day, and may we continue to celebrate the good news of Easter Day. Today we celebrate anew the wondrous hope and joyous promise of new life lived in the presence of our risen Lord. In our worship, we celebrate with great thanksgiving and join together in songs and hymns of praise and adoration. Please join me in prayer. We are still basking in the glory and joy of Christ's Easter victory, O God. The stone was rolled away. The stones which have trapped us, our worries, fears, anxieties, troubles of various sorts, need not threaten us. Remind us that our lives can and will be totally transformed, just as the disciples were on that first Easter. We pray that your power that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us out of darkness and sorrow. We ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus, and now pray as he first taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to listen and or join in singing the hymn, Worship Christ, the Risen King. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 19 through 31, which immediately follows the passages that I read last Sunday. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This ends the reading of God's holy word for today. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and understanding. And let's pray together. Loving and faithful God, may we listen carefully to your word for us this day. Help us to be open and truly receptive. Send your spirit into our lives and help us to respond to your call and invitation for discipleship. Renew our spirits and re-energize our lives as we follow our risen Lord, Jesus the Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Do you ever feel like Popeye the Sailor Man or Superman or some other superhero who has all the courage and strength in the world? How strong are you? And is your strength physical, emotional, or spiritual? And while we're thinking about our strengths, what about our weaknesses? Are they ever connected to our strengths, or are they in different areas of our life? Professional athletes make their livelihoods off their powerful bodies and physical abilities. Yet those very bodies are finally an athlete's downfall. Tendinitis and arthritis slow down a pitcher's arm. Torn ligaments and floating cartilage cripple a running back's knees. Tennis elbow stops all ace serves cold. That which was once an athlete's source of power and pride becomes the weakest, most vulnerable part of his or her body. There comes a time in every athlete's life when no longer does practice make perfect. Instead, practice only makes pain. Among Jesus' 12 disciples, we often think of Peter, James, and John as being the strong ones, and yet we know how weak Peter became after Jesus was arrested. denied even knowing Jesus three times. Another disciple, the one named Thomas, is not actually singled out for his strength, but rather for his doubts, as described in today's description, in today's scripture. And this is frequently viewed as a weakness in Thomas's character or his faith. But let's take a moment to look at Thomas's record as described elsewhere in John's gospel. Thomas's doubt may not have come from a watered-down commitment or a frail faith. In John chapter 11, it is Thomas who loyally, if bluntly, declares his willingness to follow Jesus back to Bethany and Lazarus's tomb, even though people in that very place had nearly stoned Jesus only a short time before. When the other disciples made prudent cautions about making such a long journey, Thomas declares, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." For his steadfastness, Thomas was rewarded with witnessing the stunning miracle of Lazarus's resurrection. Thomas's commitment to Jesus' earthly mission was enthusiastic and wholehearted. Thanks to Thomas's persistent inquiry into where Jesus was going, when Jesus stated that he was going away where his disciples could not follow, Jesus was provoked into responding, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas was fueled and fired up by his experience as a witness to Jesus' actions, the miracles performed, the people transformed. Thomas was attentive to Jesus' deeds. Not nearly attentive, however, to Jesus' words. The state of Missouri has been called the Show Me State. Most of us are spiritual Missourians. We want proof, and lots of it, before we are willing to commit ourselves to anything. We should be proud of our Missouri spiritual ancestry. Grand claims should be backed up by hard facts. The entire notion of empirical evidence, which moved the scientific method from the magical realm of alchemy to the cautious methodologies that now result in proven hypotheses, is a just the facts, ma'am, system of inquiry. Our legal system, as well, is based on the notion that the accused are innocent until proven guilty. Without physical evidence, the prosecution has a very difficult case. In today's scripture, Thomas is confronted with nothing but words, hearsay, we might call it, about Jesus' miraculous resurrection. Thomas has to decide how to integrate the alleged appearance of the risen Lord into his old belief system. Thomas chooses to fall back on his old, reliable source of strength, the plain physicality of Jesus' earthly mission. He had seen Jesus crucified, and therefore, these stories about Jesus being alive must be just that, stories with no factual basis. A faith based on seeing is believing had held Thomas in good stead thus far. So why change his tune now? What Thomas failed to understand is that Jesus' mission and ministry had now moved light years forward. Literally, while Thomas was out of the room, the rules had changed. What keeps us out of the room? What prevents us from allowing Christ's resurrection to move us light years ahead? For when the ground rules change, our old strengths, our reliable standbys, can become major liabilities. Do you think your strengths can't become weaknesses? Do you imagine that your strengths prevent you from being deceived or fooled? We could take a lesson from the story of the Borden Company. Many of you may remember its mascots, Elsie for dairy products and Elmer for adhesive products. The company was founded in the mid-1800s with the invention of condensed milk. It grew into a respected and successful company for over 100 years, focusing primarily on pasta and pasta sauces, bakery products, snacks, processed cheese, jams and jellies, and ice cream. But what made Borden a household name is also what led to the company's demise. Borden's strength became the very source of its weaknesses. First, Frito-Lay, Doritos, and other ethnic chips began to take larger shares of the market. Borden saw no reason to change or add to its standard Wise potato chips. Next, premium ice cream like Ben & Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs appeared on the scene. Borden saw no reason to change or add to its traditional, lower-priced Lady Borden ice cream. Then, easy-to-prepare meals like Rice-A-Roni became popular. Again, the company Borden saw no reason to change or add to its staple Prince Spaghetti and Classico spaghetti sauce. After significant financial losses in the early 1990s and a leveraged buyout in 1995 by Kohlberg, Kravis, and Roberts, Borden divested itself of its various divisions, brands, and businesses. KKR shuttered Borden's food products operation in 2001 and divested all its other Borden operations in 2005. Who would have ever imagined that the largest U.S. producer of dairy and pasta products would someday no longer exist? This should be nothing new for those of us living in today's world. We have seen so many companies in so many different fields just disappear. This past year in particular has not been good for many small and not so small businesses, especially in the food, travel, and retail sectors. What were once strong now no longer can survive. They have discovered their weakness, and they cannot overcome it. What is each of our greatest strengths? That is where we are most vulnerable. Has our greatest strength become our most insidious weakness? Doubting Thomas shows us the way to escape the quicksand of being deceived by our strengths. After hiding behind his own strength, his commitment to Jesus' earthly ministry, and demonstrable signs and wonders, Thomas had the humility to accept Jesus' offer of forgiveness and love when Jesus appeared before him that following Sunday after Easter. When confronted by the risen Christ, Thomas confessed, "My Lord and my God," without touching that resurrected, glorious body. In the only explicit confession of the divinity of Jesus in John's Gospel, Thomas responded in faith to Jesus' offer of love and forgiveness. to Jesus demand that he not doubt, but believe in the resurrected Christ. Thomas allowed himself to be weak enough to accept the fact that his strength had become his potential for self-destruction. This doubting disciple relinquished the hold his "show me strength," false faith had on his heart, and accepted the gift of faith and forgiveness that Jesus offered him. Christ's gift to Thomas and to all who believe empowers us with the genuine strength of redeeming love brought through absolute grace. Instead of "show me signs," God offers us the unmerited gift that we can never earn nor never learn in rational, legal terms, the love of Jesus Christ. May we have the strength to accept this gift and welcome the resurrected Christ into our hearts. Please pray with me. O God, like Thomas, we want to believe, but we often doubt. When we awake to news of new deaths due to the coronavirus, a natural disaster, or mass shooting somewhere, we have to work to find hope. As we walk along family and friends suffering from illness or addiction, dealing with the pain of broken relationships, we are not always confident of your presence. The shadow of the gloom obscures our sight. We are thankful for the work of your Spirit in those people who encourage us and speak your presence into our lives, who help us remember your love story with and without words, who remind us that you have not abandoned us, who are present in the suffering, gathering us in your arms and crying with us. Help us trust that doubt is part of faith and not a lack of faith. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we might see you. Kindle in our hearts a desire to know you better and renew our spirits. Help us grow in our faith and build our lives on the sure foundation of the risen Christ. As we sing the joyous Easter songs, may our ears truly hear the mystery of our faith proclaimed. Let our minds and our hearts take in the good news of your presence among us. We pray all of this in the name of the risen Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you to now listen to and or join in singing the Easter hymn, "Thine is the Glory."
Thank you.
as we conclude this time of worship. The disciples proclaimed, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Jesus instructed, "Peace be with you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Allow faith to overcome your weaknesses. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.